Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are out and about and on the road, October 3rd, 2025, and you are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. We are at Public Bar, not far from DuPont. We're on 18th Street in Northwest. Come on out and hang with us today. We will be here from 2 to 6:30, a very rare cameo for the lads at a D.C.-based sports bar. We are in the district today.
I've had a lot of history at Public Bar. A number of shows here. I did an NCAA tournament preview show with Cakes years ago. Did some midday broadcasts before you and I started working together. One of my stops on my buddy's bachelor party was here. It happened to be the night of a heavyweight boxing fight that some people cared about.
I hung out with one of our really good friends, Mia Khalifa, here
right?
for a night watching a Thursday night opener. You don't remember who played that night?
It was Caps game.
Wrong.
Nope. Okay.
It was the Thursday night football NFL opener. Who played?
I'm pretty sure it was Caps because she's wearing a Caps jersey.
She probably was.
Yeah, I remember
because
that.
Because she was trying to say she was a Caps fan.
It was Caps opening night.
Wrong. It was the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots. The starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs was?
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith in his final year at the helm right before he came to D.C. Just me, you, and our best buddy. The three best friends
just
anyone could ever have.
Just a few pals.
But we're hanging out. It's going to be a fun day. 2 to 6:30 out here at Public Bar. Come kick it with us. The Grant and Danny field trip series continuing on The Fan. We have Caps tickets. Speaking of the Capitals, if you're watching in high definition on 106.7 The Fan, thank you for doing so. You'll see my lovely new navy blue Caps zipper jacket here. They are opening their season next Wednesday night at Cap One Arena. If you want tickets, we got one more chance for you to win on Grant and Danny today at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz, so you'd better be listening. I got out to the arena last night. Tons of listeners out there. Awesome to catch up with a bunch of people in the concourse, in the lower bowl last evening. It was the diehards. You know, it's a preseason hockey game, so it's a lot of people who have
you gotta really want it.
Hipster hockey jerseys. But it was a good night at Cap One Arena. They didn't win. They finished second. Not an important game. But the kids looked good for the most part, man. They got a lot of young talent.
That's what I care about the most, honestly, because this, you know, I've argued that if things were slightly different, a.k.a. Ovechkin wasn't chasing down one of those impossible records that I thought would never be broken in my lifetime because of how dominant Wayne Gretzky was in a completely different era where half the defensemen didn't have helmets on, and it was easier to score. It was just a 3-on-2 continuous drill going back and forth. If Ovi wasn't chasing down that record, this group could have used a refresh and maybe even a rebuild a time or two, but he was, so you can't do that. Now I'm sort of going, man, how are they going to inject some new life into this older roster? They need some of the fruits of the draft, guys to come up and have impacts like Protas did last year.
What's the greatest compliment you can be paid in your life?
Wow, the greatest compliment you can be paid.
The greatest thing anyone could say to you to make you feel the best about yourself, what would that be? I was thinking that would have something to do with your humor or your impressions.
Well, for me, it'd be like, I actually think you're a good person. Like, you're a genuinely good person. I think that's the best compliment you can get.
Okay.
How's that? I went philosophical there.
You went very deep
there. Is
that
wrong?
I was kind of looking for, I really like your Barkley impression, but
yeah,
hey.
Dude, how about this? Your impressions are awesome.
I was kind of looking for
that. That's the deep level. There we
go. Okay. But
give
hey,
another chance.
It's your answer, not
Damn
mine.
It.
Here's what I was going to tell you. The greatest compliment I can be paid has nothing to do with my character or the caliber of the person that I am.
Okay.
It happened last night to me when I went to Capital One Arena and I made my own Caps jersey. And the guy that has to do the letters and do the ironing and all that stuff, he said to me, I've never made one of those before.
That's it for you.
Come on,
That's
man.
That's it for you.
What's better than that? Well, Hipster Paulson getting a jersey, and the guy looks at me and goes, huh, never made one of those before.
Not a lot of demand for that letter Q. Yeah, why can't you get a jersey that someone else might have had?
Why would I?
But to recognize the popular – it's okay to like a popular thing.
I like all the popular things. I bought my son a Tom Wilson sweater last night, a four-year-old toddler-sized Tom Wilson jersey. He's allowed – he's got two jerseys. He's got an Ovi and a Willie.
Yep.
It's not like I don't support the cause here. I got the captain and the future captain.
What if somebody gave you an Ovechkin jersey?
I would say thank you, and I would frame it and put it in my basement.
But you wouldn't wear it?
I would not.
Why can't you – this is what I want to get to. Why wouldn't you ever wear it? Because there's something there. You can't be like everybody else. Why?
Yeah, of course.
Why not?
I am a jersey hipster.
But why? But I want to get to the core of it. I don't know why we started to get deep right now.
Yeah.
But why can't you wear a jersey that other people might have?
I don't know.
Do you need to feel superior to them in some
Maybe.
Way?
Maybe. Hmm. Maybe so. Hmm. What I don't think it's even a superiority thing. I think I need them to see that jersey and go, oh, I like that. Like, that's a good jersey.
Well, that's an obscure
that's
one.
That's all I'm hunting for is, dude, I remember that guy. Or, whoa, he's got an Andrew Crystal 28 before he makes the team?
And nobody has that.
That's pretty fire.
That's what you want.
But yeah, I got a great compliment last night. Oh, I'm just still on cloud nine. Very, very good. Thursday night football, Major League Baseball playoffs. There was a lot going on. I was multitasking with the phone last night at Capital One Arena. Let's go to the football and the Thursday nighter first. Anybody know a guy who was completely wrong about last night's game, who has two thumbs and a beard and he's talking right now? This guy.
Mm.
49ers beat the Rams with all of those injuries. That is as impressive a W. I don't think there's going to be a better George Bush in the first half of this season. I'm just telling you right now. Kyle Shanahan with QB2, tight end 2, wide receivers 4 through 7, going to L.A. to a pretty healthy Rams team at 3-1 and getting the best of his buddy Sean McVay and Matt Stafford's boys. What a win for the 49ers. That was gutsy. And it took overtime. I mean, over and over and over again, it looked like the Rams were going to get right. They missed a field goal. They miss an extra point that would have ended the thing. They call a terrible play on 4th-and-1 in overtime. They fumble at the goal line. They lose a fumble at the mouth of the red zone on another possession. I mean, they gave the game away, but you got to give the 49ers credit. They just battled with their B team last night.
Well, they came out and punched the Rams right straight in the kisser. And the Rams were not ready for it. They were on their heels. And then once the comeback started, you went, okay, yeah, they've messed up a few times. It's Thursday night football. Crazy bleep happens. They're going to end up winning this game. They just have more. When San Francisco won a few drives and couldn't move the ball and had to punt, and you go, okay, this is a matter of time. They're driving down to win the football game. And one of the great defensive plays I can remember. I mean, I'm not – like the second-round pick for the Niners, I'm blanking on his name, who forced the fumble in that moment of Kyron Williams right by the goal line. But his left arm is – yeah, it was Collins, thank you – is – not available for usage at that point. Like, he's part of this pile, and it's getting pulled in the opposite direction. All he has is a desperate lunging punch that he landed absolutely perfectly square on the football on a moving target that's headed to the end zone, and then falls on it, recovers it. Ta-da! What an unbelievably clutch play for the Niners, and that's why they win.
For San Francisco last night, they couldn't really run the ball at all. It was Mac Jones winning you a football game on the road against an elite team or you're in trouble. And he's 3-0 as their starter now. Jones, 33 of 49 for 342 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was throwing most notably to Kendrick Bourne, who had 10 grabs for 142 yards in a career game. Because, again, wide receivers 1, 2, and 3 were not playing for the backup quarterback. This is very Marcus Mariota to Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey,
yep.
Right? Making it work. San Francisco gave the ball to Christian McCaffrey 22 times. I give him a lot of credit for that, but they couldn't run it. He got held to sub 60 yards, 2.6 per pop. By the way, last night, B-Rob, 2.4 per carry. For the season, this will not surprise you, Danny. He is averaging, I think, 3.99 or 4 yards per carry, something right around there.
Yeah, what a trade for Washington. That anybody was interested, please take him. Thank you very much. Good dude, but not a particularly effective running back.
But that is a great win for San Francisco to get to 4-1. To have now won all 3 of their games without Brock Purdy. And it's just so much bigger than that because now you're going to get George Kittle back. you're going to slowly but surely. You know, there's a couple guys that aren't coming back through that door. Nick Bosa's out for the year, but you're going to start to add Brandon Ayuk's going to come off PUP here shortly. Juwan Jennings should be back. Ricky Pearsall should be back. And as you move forward now, you just birdied a hole. I mean, you could bogey somewhere, and it's probably okay because you're off.
And their schedule gets a little softer.
It does.
A little softer.
On the other side, the Rams have to be kicking themselves. Again, that was a lost game as much as it was won by San Francisco. I give them all the credit in the world because of how undermanned they were. But if the Rams make a field goal or don't miss an extra point when the game was tied to take a lead with a minute plus left, or don't fumble the ball with about a minute remaining, or don't turn the ball over the times that they did earlier in the game, over and over and over again, they would have won. But both of their losses, Danny, they're 3-2.
Are just gut punches.
Special teams losses, where you have kicks blocked, extra points blocked, kicks missed. Just gross special teams play, or else they are 5-0 right now. Instead, they're 3-2. With a good team in Seattle in the division, hard charging, and with San Francisco now with not only a 4-1 record, but the tiebreaker over you early on with a win as well.
Yeah, killer. I mean, that those losses hurt double, right? I mean, losing to the Eagles, if you have playoff aspirations, which they do, will hurt your seeding, and you know, you'll probably have to go on the road now in the postseason when you start add up the wins at the end of the year. But those divisional losses count double, to your point. That is just a gut punch. You could be sitting at 4-1 with a beat up San Francisco team that's got to start playing much weaker opponents, quite frankly, than you do, and you let that one slip away. I mean, it's their own mistakes. I mean, McVay, to his credit, is trying to wear it because of that fourth down call, which, you know, I didn't love either. But as Matt Stafford, by the way, keep underrating Matt Stafford, who just threw dime after dime after dime. I mean, he had one of those roll of dimes, and he's just doling them out for people near 400 yards.
The overtime throw he made to Tutu Atwell for 38 yards, it was quite literally the Zach Wilson play in the workout ahead of being drafted that went viral on the internet, where everyone's like, look at this, he's running to his left and he throws back to his right. It's 40 yards downfield on a rope. Except it was in overtime, in a division game, with the game in the balance, with guys coming at you trying to crush you, not against air in a workout pre-draft. It was one of the most incredible throws I've seen in terms of just arm talent in a long, long time. He went 389 and 3 last night, Stafford did. And with the game on the line, 4th and 1, they give the ball to Kyren Williams, which is fine. I wouldn't have done it. I think it's a mistake. But to bring everybody in after a timeout now, so you've got this bunch formation where you got all basically 22 lined up, and you just go power against power, mano a mano, let's have a shoving match. What a bad play call.
And yeah.
To your point, McVay apologized after. He already said, I don't know what I was thinking. I feel sick to my stomach. That was terrible.
Because it's like trying to outfox the fox, trying to think.
But
you
know, you've moved the ball with ease.
Exactly.
They got no answers against your passing game, and Stafford is your franchise, and Puka Nacua is the best receiver in the league, and you got all of these things going on through the air all night long, and you go, hold on, guys, let's try to run the ball one more time, even though we haven't really done that well.
Right. I mean, it's, again, you got so smart there, you outsmarted yourself, right? What was working, and it's like, well, that's what they'll be expecting. They won't expect the ineffective thing. And then, of course, it leads to disaster. But so good for McVay for wearing it. But you already touched on it. You make an extra point, you win the game. You make a field goal, you win the game. You don't fumble at the 1 yard line, you win the game. I mean, even if Williams just goes down there, you kick a field goal, you probably win it. There's a million ways that happens. You don't come out flat and get punched in the mouth and get down by 14. So many opportunities for them. This is the second loss, though, where you go, come on, man.
Yeah.
You had it, right? Especially if you're a Rams fan. And there were almost 50 or 60 Rams fans in the building last night.
So I'm going to apologize in advance because he's a legend and an icon. But we've got to talk about Al Michaels today. We have to do it. My normal caveat applies here. One of the greatest of all time. Hall of Famer in every sense of the word. Hang his microphone wire from the rafters. There are few better than Al Michaels. It's over, Johnny. I mean, this anymore is a rough watch and a rough listen. So we've talked and we've joked about the energy in the past, Danny. Well, it's past that at this point, I think. The energy's one thing. Last night, he was struggling to keep up and just call what was happening in front of him at different points. And it took away from the enjoyment of an amazing game in the end. I'm going to play a couple clips for you from last evening on Amazon Prime, this billion-dollar operation, tens of millions of dollars paid to Michaels and Herb Street and everything going on in the booth, right? These are legends. These are big-time superstars. But at the end of the game, Kyren Williams with the Rams trailing by three, is running the football on a first and goal from the three with a little over a minute to go. You take the lead. San Francisco likely loses. This is a massive moment and one of the generational, like once in an era, once in your childhood kind of awesome defensive plays happens where you're sitting there knowing you're about to lose because the Rams have walked right down the field and you're praying for a fumble. You know you're not going to turn the ball over, but what if we knocked it out at the goal line?
That never happens.
But it did this time. When is the last time this has happened for the Commanders? Team's about to take the lead with less than a minute left on the goal line. Guys plunging into the end zone and someone punches the ball loose and you take over first and 10 to save the game and win the game for yourself potentially. You can't even remember because it just doesn't happen. This is a once every decade kind of thing. And this was the call. 3 seconds after the ball's fumbled, he acknowledges it. 7 seconds after the referees tell you it's San Francisco ball, he's telling you the ball changed hands. And it kind of ruined this amazing moment last night.
Williams, can he get in? They signal that he, with the ball coming out, and it goes the other way. And the call is a fumble in San Francisco ball. Wow. That is unbelievable.
He was just surprised and kind of waiting and didn't really know.
So if you're listening, you're just going, well, that wasn't that. That maybe not the most energetic call. That's not quite Kevin Harlan, you know, up to 11. Understand that everybody at home knew way before he did.
Right. Second.
See what I'm saying?
Before.
So, like, it's almost like a movie soundtrack that doesn't match up or something like that, where you see the guy's lips move or whatever, like one of those weird moments when your cable isn't working right, and, like, the lips has already moved, and, like, 4 seconds later, then the audio happens.
I mean, the Niners,
it is jarring.
The Niners are all sprinting to the other field to do their let's all sit in the end zone pretzel for a photo in
photo.
The paint, basically. And he's still going, did he fumble the ball? You know, and he's asking
came out
questions.
And the other way. Oh, my God.
This is what that should have sounded like. I'm going to give you a little juxtaposition here. Incredible moment. Can you believe this? Oh, my goodness. Years in the making. Game on the line. Fumble at the goal line. This was Kevin Kugler on Westwood One on the radio call last night.
On first and goal, handoff Williams. Jump cut to the right. Diving for the goal line. Did the ball come out? The ball came out at the one-yard line, and San Francisco recovers. Kyren Williams fumbled the football. He got to the one and he coughed it up and the Niners have it. At the bottom of the pile, it's San Francisco football.
I'm watching last night and I'm going, this is such a big moment. This is a generational defensive play. This is great. And as a Niners fan, you're going, wait, we got the ball?
Do we have the ball?
I mean, if you're doing something else, looking down at your computer, washing a dish or something, do you even look up based on intonation there? I don't think you do.
No.
So there was another play earlier in the game, which may have even been a tougher moment for this legend, Al Michaels, where, I mean, you want to talk about not knowing what's going on. So Mac Jones gets hit as he throws, okay? They call a roughing the passer penalty correctly. Against Mac Jones. So it was from the 13-yard line or so, maybe the 14. He gets a completion of the sideline up to about the 26. You tack on the pass interference to the 41, and it's just very normal stuff, right? Completion, out of bounds. The camera shot shows the referee. His mic is on. He says, roughing the passer, we're going that way for 15. But even still, it's like Al didn't notice it or he didn't pick it up. This was last night on Amazon Prime.
He's the open man along the sideline, and that's DeMarcus Robinson, the former Ram, who missed the first three games. He was suspended, but there is a flag on the play, and this one's coming back.
Personal foul, roughing the passer. Defense on a 10. 15-yard penalty out of the end.
Hold on a second. The 49ers are going back up to the 41-yard line. Did they... By replay assist, though, that was legal? So 49ers up at the 41-yard line now. They marked it after the catch is what they did. So up to the 46-yard line goes Christian McCaffrey. Check it out.
It's not exactly what they did. No.
And you hear Herb Street kind of trying to help him, and he's asking, it's just not great right now. It's not great.
Nope.
I'm not taking glee in this. I'm not happy about this. I'm just telling you, as someone who watches these games and enjoys the play-by-play element of it, this is getting tough.
Miracle was 45 years ago, man.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah, in 1980. I mean, he was one of the great broadcasters of all time, Hall of Fame. Hang up the microphone glass, but man, oh, man, it's tough.
Yeah, I you got to be able to just keep up with the game. It's kind of the bottom line prerequisite, I would say. And it was a bit of a struggle last evening. We will be covering all of the action in Week 5 in the NFL as we go today on Grant and Danny, including, in great detail, the Commanders and the Chargers from Los Angeles. I want to get into that matchup next. There is one particular over-under set in this game that I find fascinating. It has to do with Jaden Daniels. Let's dive into that as soon as we return on The Fan. We're live at Public Bar on 18th Street in Northwest today. We'll be here until 6:30.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Grant and Danny on The Fan. We're in the city at Public Bar on 18th Street today for our Friday field trip. Come on out and hang with us. We'll be here until 6:30 as we get you ready for Week 5 NFL football and the Commanders and the Chargers on Sunday from Los Angeles. So here's one of the numbers that I find really interesting this week as far as projections for this game. Jaden Daniels' rushing attempts is set at 7.5. I can't figure out how this is going to go. So follow me for a second, Danny. The Chargers defensively have been as bad as any team in the league at giving up explosive runs to the quarterback position, and they give up a lot of space to QBs to run the football. But Daniels is coming back from a knee injury that kept him out for multiple games that has hindered him from practices for parts of 3 weeks. And there is a chance, we don't know for sure, but it sounds like there's a real chance he could be wearing a knee brace as well. Now, I don't think you play Jaden Daniels if he can't be Jaden Daniels. If he can't go out there and scramble, he scrambles more than anybody in the league, and be himself and execute design runs. So I don't think there's going to be any kind of messaging from the coaches, stay in the pocket, throw the football, don't try to run. I think if you have to have that conversation, he can't play. And they're past that, and now he can play, and so he'll just be Daniels. But 7.5 attempts, if he's wearing a knee brace, coming back from a knee injury, still a high total. I'm thinking over. I think he just comes back and he's Jaden Daniels
again.
Just
does it, yeah.
With the quickness. How do you see that going?
This is one of those bets I'm going to stay away from in general for the kind of the reasons you just stated. I really don't know. I don't know if it's one of those on paper. Maybe it's a feature, not a bug, of the Chargers defense. They're willing to give up the occasional scramble from a quarterback as long as it stays in front or something to that effect. They're going to have one extra guy to dedicate to knocking or to making sure a receiver doesn't do it. It's not as if they haven't played mobile guys. Pat Mahomes obviously isn't Jaden Daniels, but Mahomes moves around and uses his legs incredibly well, both for scramble and for kind of continuing some playmaking. And it's some of the hallmark plays of his career. It's the backbreaker stuff. Jackson Dart this past weekend did pretty well on the ground against them. And it's like, wouldn't you lean towards that as opposed to, thinking that the rookie's going to pick you apart with no receivers this before and after Malik Nabers get hurt? So I don't know, man. I could see it being Oh, no, no, no. We're not limiting him at all. He's good to go, and, you know, he does 10 carries. Or it could be it's just not there. It's not what they want to do. They want to get the ball out of his hands, and it's, you know, just a couple, maybe a scramble or two, and he maybe, you know, turns that fader up as we go. I have no idea what to predict, and I know that's not great analysis.
Well, so as I think about this, I'm in a place where – do you agree with this premise? If there was any element of them wanting him to be cautious about leaving the pocket or running, then they wouldn't have him play or he shouldn't play. Right? I'm working back from this.
Yep.
Like I was doing an interview today and somebody asked me, don't you think the coaching staff will just go to him and say, Jaden, we don't want you running around. We don't want you scrambling. We're not going to call design runs. Let's just play in the pocket. And I said, no, I don't see it that way at all. I think if that was the case, he wouldn't be playing. In fact, the way Marcus Mariota has played, it would be criminal and malpractice to go back to Daniels if he's only a passer and the superpower with the cape and the flying around and the running was a non-factor and, you know, not a part of this at all. So that would make no sense to me. I think that would have been last week or 2 weeks ago. And that's why he didn't play precisely. I think the fact that he's back this weekend in L.A. is indicative of he's going to be able to do everything. And there will be zero conversations from Cliff about not scrambling. And on top of that, Cliff will dial up the design run stuff to beat this defense, which they're susceptible to, just like he would if there was never an injury to begin with. I mean, that's where I'm at on it. I think he is all the way back and all the way healthy. My only question then is the knee brace. Does it look normal? I'll bet it doesn't. Because there's going to be a little bit changed gait if he's wearing a knee brace, and everyone will go,
yeah, we've done this before.
Oh, he's not quite the same. He's not quite right. And it's like, no, he's wearing this big honking, contraption around his leg that goes from his upper shin to his thigh. So, yeah, he looks a little different when he runs or slides or whatever. But I just don't think there will be any difference in Daniels's urgency to get out of the pocket, how often he looks to scramble, or how frequently Kingsbury calls running plays from the quarterback position.
That's where I'd probably lean, but again, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't have a feel for it. Because, I mean, think about this. How you look at what Atlanta did 2 weeks ago in Carolina where they looked horrendous. Did they go against type at all? Did they do anything even slightly differently after just getting shellacked, right? Maybe L.A. goes back to the lab and goes, God, we've been getting killed this way. Maybe this week we do something slightly different, welcoming back a guy that doesn't have his sea legs underneath him and is wearing a brace and is probably expecting to get a whole bunch of carries to kind of play that sort of live three-dimensional chess with Kingsbury. Again, I don't know how I feel about this one. I mean, to me, it's like if there are no limitations, then he's not wearing a brace. But if he is wearing a brace, then it means he's healthy enough to play, and we're doing this whole semantic dance again.
Okay, but see, this is where I disagree with that. I don't think a brace means there are limitations.
I think you're limited with the brace on.
Okay, I see. I thought you were saying if you're wearing a brace, it means something's not right with your knee.
Yeah.
Because I disagree with that
but
premise.
By transitivity, then I would say yes, it does. It means everything's not 100%.
So I just think it's a way to be extra careful. Maybe it's a semantics discussion, but like – there are offensive – I think there's actually a rule at a lot of schools or maybe
where
college
O-linemen
football.
Wear them, yeah.
Like every O-lineman wears a knee brace all across America, just a thing that they do. But I think that wearing a brace is no different than – I don't have a good medical comp, but like
it's not wearing a shooting sleeve on your arm to stay loose.
I don't know. It's like taking Imodium AD before you have Taco Bell a couple times in a few days. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like it's just a precautionary thing of – I'm back, I'm running. But I don't think it means that the knee is currently compromised. I think it's just a, hey, we're going to let you play, but we're going to be extra careful, and we're going to have you button it up a little bit. You're going to wear this extra thing. But regardless, he ran in the first game this season 11 times against the Giants. And I remember thinking, and we may have even talked about it on the show after the Green Bay game, that they kept him in the pocket. And they kept him from being effective. Maybe it was because of the yards. He had a career-low 17 rushing yards. But there were 7 attempts. He was a half attempt away in a game where he hurt his leg.
Yep.
And played through that after the fact from this total. So that's why I'm on the over here. And I'm not even bringing this up as a topic of, like, you know, from a betting standpoint. I'm using this as a way to
look
at
the game,
as to, is Jaden Daniels going to look like Jaden Daniels, or do they bring him back to be a pocket passer and say, let's be careful. I don't think that's the case. I get the sense a lot of fans are anticipating that. I think you're going to be surprised to see that it's just Jaden Daniels is back. He looks like the guy that was playing before the injury. Now, whether he's 100% healthy or not, we'll see as the game goes on. But I think the usage, the play calling, the plan is going to be pretty identical.
That would be encouraging if that's the case. Again, you're right, maybe it is semantics, but he's not wearing a brace on both knees. It's on one, and it tells you that there's a reason for it, whether it's a mild reason, a serious reason, or something in between. I think then having something that bulky on makes it so you're not quite yourself at the expense of protection, right? It's like, here's my best analogy. There are certain kinds of cars. You drive one of those fiberglass exterior sports cars so you can go 170 million miles an hour, or you drive like an old school, you know, station wagon with extra padding and steel reinforced, this, that, and the other thing. Well, your trade-off there. You can't go as fast because you're extra safety. They're putting him in the station wagon this week. So he might run, but how effective is it going to be? Is it a couple designs just to show that we're going to do it so I can get 5 yards? Or is it that lightning quick guy that if somebody takes one wrong angle, he does kind of a stanky leg, he's gone now for 30, 40, 50 yards? I don't know. I don't know if he has that gear this week with something mild, because it's better than it was a couple of weeks ago. That's obvious. That's understandable. And the brace on, I just wonder if he's fully able to do it, and if that's something they even want to do. But it may even not even be in the game plan. It may just be what happens because this group can rush the passer a little bit.
It's possible. I mean, where just the scrambling takes over for him.
Right.
Because I say this all the time. I think people think this is an opinion when I say it. It's a fact, statistically. He scrambles more than any quarterback in the NFL. His rate of pulling the ball down and taking off on a passing play is the highest since he came into the league of any passer. And so that is going to happen. That you can't play him and tell him not to do that. That is his game. It's what he does. It's part of why he's special and elite. It's why the offense was great. And without that, you are a worse team and he's a worse player. So you don't want to take that away from him in any way. But the other part that we haven't really dug in on is this is a flaw for a Chargers defense that's awesome. And we've said the last few days, this is as good a defense as they've played early this year. Green Bay was playing at a number one in the league level when they faced them. Well, this is pretty close to that, if we're being honest. I mean, the Chargers in some metrics here are near the very top of the league as well. They're number four in yards per play. They're number two against the pass. One area where they have scuffled is allowing some explosive runs to QBs. This is something Logan Paulson and I talked a lot about on Take Command this week. This was Logan on what he saw when he watched the tape.
I went back and watched all the explosive runs given up by the Chargers. And they're number five in terms of explosive runs given up, or number two. So they do give up a lot of explosive runs. And I'd say over 60% of them were on scrambles. So Patrick Mahomes had a bunch, Geno Smith had a bunch, Bo Nix had a bunch, and so did Jackson Dart. So if Jaden Daniels is back, his superpower, in my opinion, is dissecting zone. And this team does play a lot of zone and running when there's open rush lanes. And I think one of the things about Jesse Minter and this defense is they want to bring pressure, but on third down specifically, they want to bring a lot of simulated pressure. And so in that simulated pressure with the four-man rush, if you pick it up, there's huge running lanes for the quarterback. And you've seen that over the first couple of weeks of the season. So I think this is a great opportunity to kind of get back some of those offensive efficiency numbers, especially if Jaden Daniels is at 100% and playing the way we saw him play the majority of last year.
So the last point on this I'll make is, if he isn't able to run the ball, and I don't mean like he always has, to the level, to the extent, to the caliber, with the speed and the wiggle and all that stuff. I just mean, if there is a plan where they go, let's be a pocket passer this weekend. Let's try not to scramble. Let's not call any designed runs. Then I do think playing him is a mistake. Because I think Mariota was playing at an adequate level to win this football game and gives you the read option abilities and the mobility to take advantage of this flaw in the Chargers defense, which is why I trust this staff enough to know that they know that. If I know that, they know that.
Right, they've been
and they're
aware.
Not going to play Jaden Daniels to tell him, don't run against the team that's going to give you a lot of opportunities to do that.
No, that's a good logical chain that makes sense to me. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess this again comes down to the best interest of the player, which is really the best interest of the franchise, but may not be in the best interest short term of a coach, right? Where that guy's got to figure out the next play, the next series, the next win. You know, how do we get through this week? Who's going to be up instead of, you know, Terry McLaurin this week? And who's going to be up instead of Noah Brown this week? And so on and so on and so on. There's an inherent push and pull there where you're going, I got to get him back on the field, even if he's just, you know, part of himself. I trust this group, actually, because of what they've shown the maturity of it for the last couple of weeks, to go, if he can't be himself, that actually doesn't help us as much, right? It's not just out of some desperation. I'm with you. I think it's smart.
What's the best game this weekend in the NFL in every time window? We'll tell you next on Grant and Danny. It's a field trip Friday. We're in D.C. Come on out to right near DuPont on 18th and Northwest. We are at Public Bar today all day long until 6:30 on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from Public Bar in DuPont, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Come on out and hang with us. We are here until 6:30 today on 18th Street Northwest in D.C. If you're in the area, make it a point to come over and kick it with your pals. We're getting ready for football and for the Commanders and the Chargers. So I told you, Danny, I wanted to go through the different windows of games and pick our favorites for Sunday. There's a standalone morning game. I love them. You hate them. We're getting started at 9:30 with the legs bakey and football again from across the pond. And how about this? For the first time, I think, ever, the Vikings were sent over there for back-to-back games, so they just stayed. Now, Jacksonville has had this where they've stayed over there.
Because they like kind of are parked at.
They're like halfway a team that is London / Jacksonville on their business card. But for
Londonville.
The Vikings, another team doing this now. They had two. They stayed. They're trying to get to 3-2 against the Browns, and I think they will because – Dylan Gabriel's going to make his debut, the rookie they drafted in the mid-rounds. Dylan Gabriel starting against Brian Flores, one of the most exotic blitzing defensive coordinators in the NFL for the Vikings. This is game number 3 with Carson Wentz under center at quarterback.
This football match began, it opened as Minnesota 7-point favorites. It's down to 3.5. It has been steadily trending towards the Browns all week long, even with the announcement they're starting a rookie.
Doesn't make sense. I also like that Minnesota's just been over there longer.
I do, too.
There's a travel advantage to that, I would think. I just think Flores against the rookie quarterback making his debut, not just a guy that's a first-year player, you know, 11 or 12 games in, someone who's literally never started and played more than a few snaps in the NFL coming in off the bench.
Playing in a foreign country.
It's just a different world.
It just feels like the. I mean, I guess, did we learn our lesson last night where one team on paper is a lot better than the other in much better shape, and it should be one thing and it ends up not being? But I like Minnesota to roll in this one.
1 o'clock window, what's your favorite game?
There are a couple different possibilities here, but to me it's Broncos-Eagles. I think Denver is the best 2-2 team we got. Like, they are really, really good. Hit their stride yet on offense. Defensively, I think they're excellent. I think that's coming, though, as they kind of start to get all the pieces to fit. And Dobbins has been good. Bo Nix had such a renaissance year last year. And I trust Sean Payton pretty immensely to get some offense rolling. They're traveling across the country, playing in Philadelphia. That is a 4.5-point spread. But I just like that matchup because Philly's been, again, they deserve credit for being 4-0. They've beaten three really good teams and a division rival. They've earned it. They're top everybody's power rankings for a really good reason. But it feels like they've been living dangerously. And somebody's going to jump up and beat them. And Denver at 2-2 can't afford to kind of lose any more ground. And they're pretty good. Might be the week it happens.
So there are 8 games in the 1 o'clock window. There is only one where you've got two teams with winning records playing, and that's my answer. I can't wait for Bucks Seahawks. And I'm actually really excited that Washington's on the road out west so that we can major in this game during that 1 o'clock window. Now, I have seen that Tampa Bay is going to be without seven starters on both sides of the ball combined, apparently. But, as you said, we learned our lesson last night thinking that means you can't win. But I do like Seattle a lot. I like them, frankly, before some of the injury news for the Bucs. They're going to be without their starting tailback, who is a prolific player, Bucky Irvin as well. But in Seattle's case, they've won three in a row. They dominated the Saints. They hung on to beat Arizona. I thought they had a really good, strong plan against Pittsburgh, beat them by two touchdowns. Sam Darnold, for all of the flack he took at the end of last year, and he laid an egg in the final regular season game against Detroit, and then the playoff game against the Rams was even worse. I think he's proven some people wrong. Like, last year was not just a Kevin O'Connell, Justin Jefferson scheme creation. You're seeing him off schedule. You're seeing him avoid some pressures and create and extend and get the ball downfield. And they suddenly have a top 10 receiver in the game in Jackson Smith and Jigba as well.
He's fantastic.
Seattle's defense is going to finish top 10. If Darnold can play at the level he has through a quarter of the season, they're a playoff team.
I'm with you. One cleanup, it is in the 4 o'clock window of that game. Tampa, it's at Seattle. But still, it doesn't diminish it. It's a really good one. Tampa's interesting here. Coming off that loss to Philadelphia, as you mentioned it rightly, they're walking wounded. They're one of the few teams that's got plenty of injuries. Nobody feels sorry for you. Making the trip across country, there's something about them. There's a little moxie to them. Todd Bowles has always sort of looked over or passed over or never really appreciated, and that team is always competitive, always winning that dumb division down there. But I like their chance to keep this one close, but I'm on the Seattle team. I like them.
You're right. It's 4 4 o'clock games. This is the first week of byes, by the way. So the Falcons at 2-2 coming off the win over Washington. The Packers at 2-1-1 with back-to-back weeks where they didn't win. The Bears, who are 2-2, have a bye going into their Monday nighter with the Commanders. By the way, you don't see that very often.
I do not love it.
Bye week into a Monday night football game? Has anyone ever had a longer break than that?
That's the most you can get, I guess, right?
And then the Steelers at 3-1, the four teams not playing. So that means we've got the four games at 4 o'clock, including Washington and L.A. A Sunday night standalone game, Patriots and Bills. We talked about this yesterday. Buffalo's heavy favorites. They should win. But this is a chance for New England to solidify themselves as being the upstart team that people thought they could be under Mike Vrabel this year.
What a
statement this would be. He's trying to implement a culture. They would be if they could win, and I don't think they can, but if they do, they're 3-2 with a signature win, and that program looks like it's already being turned around with Drake May ascending and Vrabel getting his messaging across. My guess is you lose this and you're 2-3, but then they've got the Saints, the Titans, the Browns. They could win all three of those. Let's say they go 2-1. They'd still be positioned to be, you know, right around 4-4, eight games in. You're in the conversation in the AFC at that point.
And with the other teams in your division, you know, just battling for who's worse at this point, you got a chance to stockpile some wins. This is a statement game. Let me write you the script for it. Buffalo has kind of played with its food a little bit because they're looking to January, rightfully so, right? They're a Super Bowl caliber team. They're excellent. Josh Allen's a Superman. Maybe they play with their food in this one, and it's somehow closer than it should be. We've seen a couple of those over the course of the year, and maybe they're within a score late, and they can kind of steal one. It's on the road, which makes me like Buffalo that much more, but this is a huge, huge statement. I guarantee you Vrabel and company have this one circled.
The last standalone Monday night game to end the week in the National Football League. Normally, these Monday night matchups early in the season, pretty good. This one probably was better now than it looked on paper, I would say.
That's right.
Because we didn't know what Jacksonville was going to be. But the 2-2 Chiefs, the 3-1 Jaguars, Liam Cohen, a first-year head coach, as the Jags believing. Look out for that defense. They have three or more takeaways in all four games they've played in, first time in NFL history. Think about that.
Yeah.
Over a dozen takeaways for them. Washington's got one as an example. You know, two ends of the spectrum there. Next, let's check in on the Chargers. We will scout the opponent. What do we need to know about L.A.? Is this offensive line as bad as the numbers? 50 pressures allowed of Justin Herbert the last 2 weeks, his season caving in on him just a little bit after the amazing start because of their O-line. We'll talk to our former buddy out here in D.C., Darren Haynes. Was it Channel 9 in town? Went out west to do TV in L.A.? He'll join us next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.